very much.
I'll give you a new one.
Item number four is ZA 2014-1239-CUW-1A. Do we have a report from staff?
Good evening, Honorable Commission President and Commission Member Jack Jiang, Zoning Administrator, who heard the case on this matter. The project is for a conditional use for a wireless facility. The project is located on a piece of property zoned R3-1. The lot size is 21,195. Currently, there is an existing apartment building. The record shows that it was built in 1976 with 29 units. The site has an apartment structure in the front portion of the property. So the rear portion of the lot is occupied by the surface parking spaces and also a pool and a spa, which you can see this site plan that I have. The project itself is a wireless facility for 12 antennas and 12 ray caps and 12 remote radio units and 4 ray caps locating 3 sectors, which you can see is 1, 2, and 3, and also 3 equipment cabinets located on the lot. Okay, the cabinet area will be occupying about 130 square feet, and behind a 8-foot-tall masonry wall. The rooftop antenna will be screened behind a fire radar screen, color and texture match to the existing building. In the June 12, 2015 hearing, there were about 28 people showed up in the to hear the case. The residents spoke against the project. At the time, the design, it's not what's in front of you, because the cabinets was located in the parking lot area and on the stilts. It was maintained on the platform. So the zoning administrator took the case under advisement because I have a review. Personally, I have a review about a 1,000 wireless facility, and I've never seen anything like that. I don't think it's complying to the character of the design. So I asked the applicant to redesign the project and then submit the revision back to the city planning department. And the staff work with the applicant, and this is a new revision. So the cabinets, now it's not on the platform, it's on the solid ground. Another thing that I want to mention, and the building itself is a 45 feet with and 2 inches. The wireless facility, it's only a 45 feet, so it's not taller than existing structure. The applicant is not requesting anything other than the conditional use permit. There is no adjustment. There is no height variance being applied here. So it is just a straight wireless facility project. The appellant made argument that made 3 arguments. So first, that she felt that the coverage is sufficient in this area. The zoning administrator felt that the coverage is sufficient is because there are other wireless facility in the area, and there are other people that are against that type of a facility. So that why in the urban environment, so this is essential type of services that to serve the community. So we have to make sure that there is additional facility like this to serve the general valley area. Secondly, she found that there is a mistake in the finding number. Number 4D, zoning administrator like to make a request to ask the commission to make the correction. The proposed equipment cabinet will be placed on the ground instead of on a raised platform. That was an oversight, so that has to be correct. And number 3, The appellant also made an argument that current placement of generator equipment cabinet are potentially hazardous. Zoning administrator likes to make a comment that there is a condition that the applicant has to submit the plan to fire department for approval. So, making sure that fire safety are being reviewed, and also the cabinets are screened behind an 8-foot tall block wall. So there is really no fire safety whatsoever. And in addition, there are 20 parking spaces in a rear area. Technically, that's a 20 gas tank. Okay, so this one probably diesel tank enclosing the block wall, it will not be a hazardous. It will not create a hazardous situation. This concludes the staff presentation, and the zoning administrator would like to ask the commission to sustain the zoning administrator's determination with a correction to the finding and also deny the appeal. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a speaker card. Is it Ari Mapur?
Hi. Actually, my wife is the appellant, and we just had a baby last week, and she can't be here today, so I want to request a motion to delay the hearing so she can come and speak on behalf. Because at this point right now, she's a little bit incapacitated to be here.
Okay. Mr. Mapur, please begin by giving us your full name and address.
There you go. Ari Mapur, 5909 Wilkinson Avenue in Valley Village, California, 91607.
Okay. Are you the only one commenting on this appeal?
No. There's also another gentleman here that would like to comment.
Okay. How about if you tell us how you feel about the appeal, and then we'll take up this issue about a continuance.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes. Please go ahead.
Sure.
If we're going to do a continuance, can we hear any portion of the case today?
You can, but I think it is important to note that the expiration date on this project is 2/15, and so unless the applicant is willing to extend the time to act, you wouldn't have authority to do that on your own.
Well, maybe we need to ask.
That's a good question.
Yes.
Okay. Are the grounds of your appeal basically the unavailability of your wife? Is there anything else?
Actually, is it okay if I let Michael speak first?
Sure.
In front of him?
Hello. My name
are you
is
Michael Lieb.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Lieb, welcome. Please give us your name and address.
Michael Lieb, 5860 Whitsett Avenue, Unit 307, North Hollywood 91607.
Yes, sir. Are you asking us to continue this matter?
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to express my opinion about this project.
Would you like us to hear it today or on another day?
Let's do it today.
Yes, sir. Okay.
As long as we hear, why it might be some other issue on the project, but my issue was this one. Yes, we all here. Let's discuss it.
I understand. Please hold on just a moment. Can we have the applicant up? Are you Miss Desmond?
Yes, sir, I am.
Welcome. Please give us your full name and address.
Lisa Desmond, 2362 McGaw Avenue in Irvine, 92614.
You've driven up a long ways.
Yes, sir.
All righty. There's a request that we continue this matter. How do you feel about it?
Not willing to agree to it.
Okay. I understand. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Does anybody have any feelings about the request for continuance?
Well, if the person who did all the groundwork can't be here for clearly legitimate reasons. I think that the appeal suffers, the presentation of the appeal suffers if that person isn't here to work it. And I think that's fair.
I just wish that we knew about these appeals and we wouldn't have to be here tonight. I mean, it just seems redundant that both of them are pulling out. Or not redundant, but it just seems silly.
Oh, we're recording. I need you to come on up and speak into the microphone. Okay.
It was a little bit hectic the past week, but
No.
Thank you for your comment.
Your wife having a baby is a legitimate. Nobody's questioning.
Thank you. Thank you. thank you. No, I appreciate that. We didn't even know of a mechanism whom to contact in order to delay this. I would have been happy to call earlier this week.
I've got Mr. Lieb here, who's on your side of this matter, who would like it to be heard. I've got somebody who is up here from Irvine who would like it to go forward. So, is your wife indispensable to
hear this? She was very disappointed, and when she made the appeal, she was very, very concerned that she said, just wait, they're going to do it right after I give birth. And she worked really, really, really hard to get, she went and discussed with a lot of neighbors, she got a lot of facts from people, she did a lot of investigation. I mean, obviously Michael did as well. It would be unfortunate if she couldn't be here. I know she would be very disappointed, but... You know.
And are you asking for a continuance of 2 weeks, a month? What is your pleasure?
I'd say probably at least a month. I don't think she can make it in 2 weeks.
Okay.
She just gave birth.
Okay, may I inquire of counsel if... so we have this situation where the appellant's indisposed, but the applicant doesn't want to continue jurisdiction. How do you feel about that?
It's just that by operation of the code, if you don't take an action by 215, the appeal will be considered denied. So if the, and it's really, you need the applicant to agree. That's what the code says.
Okay. Mr. Desmond, do you mind joining us up here? Commissioner Mather, would you like to inquire?
Yeah. These hearings are meant to present both sides, and clearly that can't happen in this particular situation for good reason. We've all been in this particular situation. Could you please consider this? Because we like to be fair. We like to be well-informed. We really need to be hearing both,
correct,
both
may
sides.
May I state that she has given what her concerns are? She stated them in her appeal. And if we can address those concerns, then we should be good to go. We have her concerns in her documents.
Mr. Rapport, one last time.
We all know that not every word and every emotion can be captured on a piece of paper. So,
okay. Okay, here's the situation as I understand it. We cannot make the applicant continue jurisdiction. So we're going forward today.
All right.
We're going to hear from Mr. Lieb first.
Okay, I'm a resident of that apartment building, which owner of the building wants to install antenna on top.
Yes, sir.
Now, imagine that you are on the last floor, and right 3 feet above you, there is a powerful antenna, 24 hours a day. So, ladies and gentlemen, that condition will be offer to the last floor tenants. Plus, obviously, the power will be less, second floor, first floor. Now, as you may know, in 2009, Los Angeles Unified School District made a resolution to prohibit cell phone towers near a school. And this apartment building is full of school kids from this age up to this age. So this is my concern. Powerful antenna will be right on top, right? Take my height, couple feet to the ceiling, plus 2 feet where his antenna will be installed. So it's clear-cut health issue. Nothing in this document or project narrative says about it. It's just vague definition. It will be combined with FCC regulation. Nobody in this project stated what exactly regulations. And on top of that, section 1221820 of zoning code section and bunch of numbers after states that structure shall meet the minimum seating distance in to habitable structures required for compliance and so on. Again, this project doesn't say anything. So what we don't know as a citizen, right on our heads, it will be technology developed for the world. It's fine, I'm not against, but it's not. It should not be at the expense of people living right under the area where the antenna will be installed. And on top of that, there are much better solutions. The technology exists, where to place antenna, how to place antenna. If anybody interested, I have a picture how antenna can be concealed, and we have a street, we have advertising structures, antenna can be concealed there, not bothering anybody, nobody will know that antenna exists. And for some unknown reason, probably I know the reason, why this property owner allows Verizon to install antenna. And you guys, you're supposed to, balance what's good for the city and what's good for the citizens. So in this case, Verizon takes advantage of citizens.
Is your concern on this one, antenna, concealment, noise, or safety? And if it's safety, what kind of hazard are you concerned about?
My concern is safety.
What hazard do you believe is presented?
Emission, radiation from antenna. And again, project doesn't say any word. What's a safe distance, what is not safe distance. It says compliance with FCC. Compliance means many different things. And in this case, they not even offered citizens who live right below this antenna to check, to measure it, emission, to install a safety sort of warning. It's like if you have fire hazard in the building, there are some alarms if it's temperature, light. People know that that's fire hazard. On this one, no, it's just silent. Just stay in the radiation and be happy with it.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Kathy Phelan, City Attorney's Office. Just to remind her, it is in your staff report, but you cannot base your decision on the effects of radiation from wireless facility under federal law. We're preempted from that consideration.
Okay. Do you understand what she just said? That our body is not allowed to consider or deny this based upon our opinion regarding emission standards and safety. But please go ahead.
Well, in every situation, it's like this one. There is always it's possible to find a compromise solution. So why it's tilted heavily in one side and completely disregards the other side?
What compromise solution do you propose?
To find an alternate site, which is within maybe 50 yards from existing place. That's easy. It's,
yes, sir.
It's just design activities, nothing else. They selected the most easiest solution for the wireless company. That's all it is. I'm a technical field. I know you can make a good design which considers all issues, and you can make the cheap design which does not, consider anything. It's, I want this way, and that's it. That's what we have a case.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Mr. Mahapur, you're up to address the matter.
Okay, I'll address some concerns. Obviously, I can't do as good as a job as my wife.
Don't sell yourself short.
Thank you. So one thing I
he's only got 30 years.
So one thing I just want to get some clarification on, because we collected a lot of information from a lot of from the residents and from people in the neighborhood. One thing I just wanted to get a clarification on was the containment area in which the generator, is there a gasoline generator?
I'll let the applicant to answer that question, because that's a real technical answer.
Okay, could we just get information on it? Because it was rather unclear, so I just wanted to get more information at this appeal to find out exactly what that was, and then I could address a concern. Is that acceptable?
You can walk right over to it and inquire.
Oh.
You don't have to come up. He has a question of you. Is it gas or what? Here we go.
Well, I was going to say, can I just give you my presentation?
He has a question about it. He's up. He's going to learn whether it's gas, and this is his time.
Okay. Can you do it on the microphone?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, what exactly is the question?
Okay, I just want to know exactly what is sitting in that pool area where all the people are swimming and...
First of all, there is no fuel tank. It will be a natural gas line, so it's the same as your water heater in your house. It's a natural gas line going in. There is no fuel tank, no fuel storage there at all.
How much gas is coming compared to what a regular water heating tank?
It's the same thing, same gas line.
No, I understand, but how much quantity? I'm saying, are we talking about the same amount as a heater, or are we talking about 100 times the amount?
Same as a heater. It's the same kind of equipment. It's the same gas line going through.
And it used the same quantity of gas to use as a generator? Yeah. I'm just trying to understand the safety concerns here.
Well, the safety concerns that were raised were based upon fuel storage. And
please state your name and address.
I'm sorry. Thank you. William Desmond, representing Verizon Wireless. The appeal was based upon a concern about fuel storage on the site. There is no fuel storage whatsoever. It is natural gas. It is the same size pipe that it comes into your water heater in your house, a 3/4-inch pipe. So the volume of the gasoline is limited by the orifice size, so the volume, or gasoline, my apologies, correct the record, natural gas. The volume of the natural gas in cubic feet per hour is comparable to a water heater. It's not exactly the same amount, but it's a comparable volume. It's not hundreds of times. It's no more hazardous than any other natural gas-fired appliance that you have in your home.
Thank you.
Okay. I think some of the concern by some of the neighbors was just having this large gasoline generator sitting where all the kids are running around and playing. I think that was certainly a safety concern. And just to discuss, to get a little bit more detailed report of what they plan on doing in order to fix that. I think part of what Michael touched upon was that Verizon typically selects commercial buildings to put these different antennas in places. And I think, can I go off record? I go on record here. Oh. I think it might be people might be taken advantage of in this particular building, because a lot of it consists of Section 8 housing, and a lot of people won't go speak to the landlord and say, we don't want this, even though they don't want it. And so after, I believe it was two or three sites they decided to pursue this option. And I think normally in this, in our neighborhood and in most neighborhoods, apartment buildings are not usually eager to put these antennas and generators in their kids' pool areas. So I think that's just something at least to consider, at least in terms of safety and taking advantage of the residents. But I mean, obviously the code is the code. It's just something I wanted to bring up.
Thank you very much. Okay, I do have speaker cards from William and Lisa Desmond. If you have something to add, you can come on up.
Good afternoon again. Let me just quickly address her three concerns. One was that she was concerned that there was not a need for a new wireless site. As shown in the propagation maps in the report that I sent you and in the original application, it does show, let me show you real quick. This is the original propagation map for the area, and you see that it's completely red in the center. That's a lack of service, not good service. We want a green area. When we add our site to the area, you see how it all turns green? Now we're providing good indoor service to the entire area. Yellow is good outdoor service, and red is, again, a service that's not quite reliable. Almost half of the homes in the United States, 47%, do not have a landline. Over 400,000 911 calls are made every day on cell phones. It's just becoming a way of life nowadays. And so we do need to provide adequate coverage for everyone, no matter, you know, what their living condition is. We did pick the site. We did choose several other sites, and that's how it goes. The RF engineer tells us that this is a certain area. It's called a search ring where we need service. And then we go out and we look at the different buildings, and they can be the landlord didn't want it. We were not able to come to, you know, a financial agreement. The building would not hold our equipment. There was no place to put equipment. We couldn't get enough height on some buildings to satisfy the RF engineer's needs. So when we get to this site, this is what has become the most viable site in the area. We do put them on apartment buildings all the time. We put them on hospitals all the time. So that's not an issue. Again, I can't speak to anything to health. I'm not allowed to address anything regarding health. According to FCC, they have the federal government has regulated that health not be brought up as part of a consideration for a new wireless site.
How about this concern that it's right by the pool where the kids are hanging out?
Okay, let me get to that one. The gas one, I think we got pretty clear. There's no fuel tank there. The three equipment shelters, containers, will be inside an 8-foot-high CMU wall. So they're safe. No one's getting in there. We're going to, you know, put vines around it so that it looks nice. She did mention a concern that it was taking up a large portion of the pool area. She stated 40%. We did the calculations. It takes up 4% of the pool area. So we've not taken all of the children's play area or anything. And again, we are completely in compliance with all of the codes of Los Angeles.
I'm asking you, though, whether there's an alternative location from the pool area that allows you to still get the coverage and put it up and have it there. Has that been considered?
Yes, sir. We have considered many designs, trying to get the best possible solution we can for the residents in the area and to meet zoning codes. The one above the parking lot, which, remember, Jack, I actually liked because it didn't take any parking spaces, but that's all a matter of, you know, opinion and what fits code best, and that's good. We did try to put in a parking structure underneath in a little boiler room. There was not sufficient space, so this is the best location on this site.
Commissioner Durkin, you have an inquiry?
I've seen in other areas that they've got the poles, the palm trees and stuff. Why didn't you do that in the back lot or the parking lot and get it off the building?
We put another.
Yeah, you know, the monopoles.
Right. Then we take up a whole other area of space on the ground.
Well, it looks like there's parking area.
Yes, and we cannot take up any parking. There's no extra parking left for us. Those are all needed spaces according to code.
If staff may clarify, those monopoles only to house the antennas.
Right.
In this case, we're talking about the equipment, not the antenna. The antenna is already on the rooftop. I did ask the applicant to see whether they can move the equipment onto the roof as well, but it can't because that's a 2,000-pound equipment. The roof will not hold.
Right, right. I'm just thinking. I mean, so I have a question for the appellant, but
then we'll call him up. Do you have inquiry of?
Two questions. This equipment is going inside a unit that's not being occupied by someone. Is that
correct? No? It's going in the pool area.
Uh huh.
Do you have it in front of you? There's
We do.
Yeah. Okay. To the side of the pool, you can see there's a little square where the equipment is.
Oh, but this thing here on top of the building.
That is the antenna. That needs a height. Okay. That cannot go on the ground.
And my second question is, was this the most economical solution for placement in the community?
Okay. Can I have him speak to that?
Commission members, in response to the question regarding is this the most economical solution, by far it is not. Monopalm structure, as you're suggesting, to go at grade?
No, I'm not talking about different equipment. I'm talking about placement in the community. Was this the most economical choice you could make?
No. The placement is driven by where the site needs to be physically located. If you think of the community as a giant lawn, and you need sprinkler heads to cover the lawn, otherwise you have dead spots. That's the simplest analogy I can make. We need to have sprinkler heads that are evenly spaced to provide uniform coverage throughout the area. That's the purpose of the propagation maps. They demonstrate what the existing coverage is, where the lack of coverage exists, and the site has to be located as close to the center of that lack of coverage area as possible. Now, the area around this site is predominantly single-family residential and multifamily residential. When we're in residential zones, we literally have very little choice but to place a site on a residential structure. And we have hundreds, literally hundreds of sites.
But every corner coming down Whitsitt is commercial. I mean, you've got tons of commercial access on Whitsitt Boulevard. From almost Sherman Way all the way up to Ventura Boulevard, so I don't understand that process at all for residential.
To respond to your query, the way that the site spacing is occurring, it's a process called densification. The coverage areas for sites are getting smaller and smaller physically because the capacity demands are increasing exponentially. So each site can only handle so much traffic. So the physical placement of the site is now down to literally, we get search rings, as she was mentioning, a target area from RF that can literally occupy four corners of an intersection. We have to pick one of those four corners. That's how precise the search areas have become in terms of where we can place these sites. If we move a site up to the commercial intersection north on Whitsitt, it's too far away from the area that needs coverage and too close to another existing site. We can't put sites next to each other. It's like putting two sprinkler heads in the lawn side by side, and they would overlap and not be effective.
You piggyback on the same pole all the time, so I don't quite understand that. The other question I have, I'll come back.
Well, can I ask a follow-up question? Why not the monopole? You started to answer that.
Yes, thank you. First of all, a freestanding monopole or monopalm structure in Los Angeles is not the preferred solution. When we have a rooftop that is viable, that can meet all the zoning ordinances, and we can stealth the facility on a rooftop, that is considered to be the preferred stealthing solution, rather than erecting a freestanding structure, another structure in the city, when there's a perfectly viable rooftop that we can place antennas on. So from an overall community aesthetic, putting antennas on a rooftop in what appears to be another penthouse on the roof is generally considered to be the most suitable siting solution versus erecting freestanding antenna support structures throughout the city. Even though those would be less costly than the design that we're currently, going through. This is not an inexpensive design by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, I wanted to ask, what is the bandwidth of this installation?
The bandwidth?
We used to have one. And now, where it was one bandwidth, but now you need a whole lot more, right?
We have multiple bands in which we operate. We have antennas that operate in the 700 megahertz. I assume you're talking about frequencies.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have antennas that operate in the 700 megahertz range, the 800 to 900 megahertz range, the 1900 megahertz range. We have multiple bands in which wireless facilities operate.
Mm-hmm.
it operates on all of those frequencies. We have multiple bands that each facility is utilizing because there's LTE antennas, long-term evolution antennas, versus the you know CDMA or TDMA antenna bands. It's there's a mixture of technologies that go into every site now, so that we can handle voice versus data versus video. There's different bands that operate more efficiently.
I have a question.
Certainly.
Please excuse my ignorance, but these plot maps
that
Ms. Desmond provided, I see that with this tower that you would gain a lot of green spot, which is indoor coverage. Why can't you at least get rid of the yellow and make all of that indoor coverage?
The function of what you're seeing there, if you look at that as layers or signal strengths, if you will, the green is the strongest signal. It's able to penetrate into walls. Mm-hmm. The reason we have indoor versus in-car versus outdoor coverage is the amount of material that the signal needs to pass through. So in-building is the most difficult to get signal into. So the closer we are to a facility, the more apt the signal is to penetrate the interior of a structure. The goal today, with 47% of households being wireless only, is to provide ubiquitous wireless coverage in people's homes, because that's where the devices are being used today.
Right.
And so on your plot map, green is covering in-building. The signal weakens as we go further away from the site, therefore it turns to yellow. Yellow means that we have reliable in-car coverage. A little easier to penetrate the interior of a car through the windshield and side windows. The glass is what allows the signal in, versus a building. And then as you move out into the red area, red is considered outdoor coverage. If you're walking around outside, you can have coverage. It may or may not be entirely reliable based on the area, because obstructions from buildings and other things would literally block the signal. It is a line of sight technology, which actually gets me back to your question about the palm tree. On this particular property, because the building already has such significant height, if we were to do a palm tree structure, that structure would have had to have been significantly higher in order to see over this building, because the building would have blocked about 180 degrees of the horizon from view. So a freestanding structure on this site did not make any sense. And because of the propagation that we would have gotten, we would have had literally only half of the area propagating signal versus what we're able to achieve when we're up on the rooftop. Again, it's line of sight.
So you negotiated this with the landlord, the owner of the building, right?
The lease is with the property owner, yes.
Right. Did he mention reaching out to the occupants in the building, or...
We actually reached out to Neighborhood Council, and this was reviewed by the Neighborhood Council Design Review Board. They fully supported the original design, even, which was the raised platform. But we had the full support of the Neighborhood Council coming into the zoning administrator hearing. So there was community outreach through the Neighborhood Council, not through specifically the building.
Okay, and the Neighborhood Council supported, was that the raised platform in the parking lot?
Yes, they did. And that's why that was the design that was brought forward to the zoning administrator.
I didn't see any documentation here. Was that Valley Glen Neighborhood Council? What council was that?
It was the, forgive me, I don't recall exactly which, the neighborhood council that covers this area. We did meet with them early on in the process. I personally sat down with the design review committee of the neighborhood council, and we had full support of the design review committee from the neighborhood council.
Can I ask a question of this gentleman?
Yeah.
Do you know what the name of your neighborhood council is?
Mr. Marpour, you're being called up.
I believe it's Valley Glen.
Your Valley Glen?
Yeah.
Part of Whitsitt? Between Oxnard, you're between Oxnard.
I believe so. Yeah, but we in the last hearing, nobody mentioned anything about a neighborhood council.
And I don't see any documentation.
Yeah.
In our.
Wait, hold on, please. Did you have inquiry of Mr. Mapour?
Mr. Mapour. I'm sorry, your name.
Sorry. Yes.
Did you get notification prior to the public hearing about the landlord wanting to do this? Did the landlord talk?
Oh, no. He didn't even speak to the tenants. That's the whole point. What I was trying to say. In my opinion, which obviously isn't much, I think he may be taking advantage of the state of his tenants.
And
they're not going to complain to him and threaten to get out.
Have they ever talked about a monopole? Is that something that you guys are open to?
Not at all. I mean, nobody's discussed anything with any of the neighbors, none of the tenants. I mean, we went, and my wife primarily, but I went with her a little bit, and we discussed with maybe 100 neighbors in the whole area.
I mean, has there been any...
The equipment, the heavy equipment, were out in the parking lot.
That would probably be even worse.
Or it'd be worse.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I thought that was a better modification, but even to put it in the pool is still bad.
He's talking about the
equipment, yeah.
But not the array, right?
I mean, there. I guess I still don't fully understand the 3D, the 2D drawings. I think they're supposed to be covering it somehow, but I still think that it would be aesthetically displeasing to the neighborhood. But I can't understand that 2D drawing. It's really hard to get that without seeing some sort of 3D mechanical design of it.
I'm asking you if there's anywhere on that lot acceptable to you for this 8-foot wall and this 2,000 pounds of equipment.
I mean, it's a highly occupied building. It's at high capacity. There are a lot of cars going in and out. It's right off of Whitsett. In my personal opinion, I don't know if there is an ideal location on that property. I mean, maybe there's some sort of nook or corner on the side where people can't see it. But obviously, the parking lot wasn't very good, and the pool area might be threatening to the children.
Okay, what do you mean by that? Might be threatening to the children?
I don't know. Is there a way that they can get into it, or if there's some sort of explosion or something, people are there? I don't understand the technology. I'm just raising concerns as an ignorant resident here, so I don't fully understand. But all I hear is generator and gas, and I'm just raising concerns about safety, making sure that the proper mechanisms are put in place to address that. And if there are kids nearby and some sort of mishap occurs, obviously we want to make sure there's like no lawsuit to Verizon because some kid got burned to death from some sort of generator. You know what I'm saying? But obviously,
Anything further?
Yeah.
I have a question. Has either side been in contact with Councilman Krikorian's office?
I don't believe that the council district office was contacted on this. I think they may have had a representative at the hearing. I was not, unfortunately, at the hearing. I was out of the country at the time.
The CD5 usually don't send a council deputy to a zoning administrator's hearing. Yeah.
Okay. If I could respond to his concerns, the questions he was asking as far as safety, and I do want to make absolutely clear that we're drawing a distinction between electromagnetic energy safety related to the antennas and equipment safety, because again, EME safety
is not for us.
Cannot be considered. So, with regard to the equipment, the units that are being installed, one is a large box that houses fiber optic, low voltage fiber optic cables. No safety hazard whatsoever. The second cabinet houses radios. Basically, put a bunch of cell phones together, put them in a box, if you want to think of it in those simplistic terms, and that's what's in that box. There's no hazardous materials here that are regulated by the state of California associated with the equipment installation. There's no fire hazard associated with this. And even if there were a fire or explosion hazard, which there is not, no more so than any other gas-fired appliance that's regulated under the California Mechanical Code, California Fire Code, California Building Code, all of which we must satisfy in order to get the site permitted. The 8-foot-high CMU wall, if we were designing an above-ground storage tank, just for reference, let's say a propane tank, which does have a high explosion potential, that 8-foot-high block wall would be used as blast shield and would satisfy the code as a blast shield for an explosion of a propane tank. We don't have that here. We have just a gas line. If there's a fire that were to erupt, it would look like a burner coming out of your gas stove at home. That's the volume of gas that's coming out. There's no explosion hazard whatsoever. And even if there were, which there's not, the wall itself would shield the area from a blast, would direct any explosion directly upward. There's no one above us. It's perfectly safe. So there's no safety hazard posed at all by the site. The site itself is fully secure. There's no way for anyone to get inside the site. It's a locked compound. It's a secure compound with an 8-foot-high wall. If there's a concern about someone climbing over the wall to get inside, we'd be happy to accept a condition to put a security lid on top of the enclosure if it's not already in the design. And I don't recall, honestly, whether this site called for that, but we'd be happy to accept that as a condition as well, just to preclude anyone from somehow gaining access into the interior of the facility. But the cabinets themselves that are inside are also fully secured. They're designed to be installed at grade, not in an enclosure, and be secure against vandalism.
How many other sites did you look at as an alternative in this area?
The alternatives analysis is a part of the record, and I did not prepare the original application, so I can't speak to that in specific terms, but I believe there were several alternative sites considered here prior to settling on this facility.
In terms of numbers of locations similar to the one that you're talking about, those that are on residential buildings,
yes,
in Los Angeles, do you have any inkling as to the percentage of towers that are placed on top of apartment buildings? And if so, where are they?
They're everywhere. I have designed, over the last 26 years, I've designed 18,000 wireless facilities in 33 states. In Southern California, I've probably designed over 10,000 of those facilities. On residential structures, I would say the percentage is probably 30% of the sites are on residential structures, multifamily, even single-family residential structures that we've installed antennas on. The FCC regulates emissions, and we cannot operate a site if the emissions from the antennas exceed the allowable limits, the allowable exposure limits established by the FCC. They hold exclusive purview over issues related to EME safety. We have to operate in accordance with those standards, or we violate our license. We would risk losing our license and being put out of business by the FCC, or heavily fined at a minimum. So all of that regulation with regards to the emissions is regulated by the Federal Communications Commission. So you need to understand these, as I mentioned before, line of sight. The signal that's broadcast from an antenna goes out in a very narrow beam in a horizontal plane. Does not broadcast down, does not broadcast up, doesn't broadcast out to the side. There's minimum leakage, if you will. It's called side lobes, of signal that slightly goes out to the side, but nothing goes down or up. You could be standing in the near field of an antenna, below an antenna, for as long as you want. There's not going to be any issue with the EME safety. So the FCC standards, guidelines, which if they're not part of the record, I'd love to enter it into the record here. There's a siting guideline published by the FCC which states there is no hazard to the occupants of a building from antennas being installed on the rooftop.
I'm not really talking about emissions right now. I am interested in if about 30% of your towers are located on residential locations, can you tell me what general areas they tend to be put in Los Angeles?
They're going to be located in all areas. There's a fairly uniform dispersal throughout the city. The residential structures, we select the structure based on two criteria predominantly, and then we go into the lower tier criteria. The first is the height of the structure. Does it fall within the Goldilocks zone, if you want to think of it in those terms, in terms of the height? Not too short, not too tall. Too tall, we see too much. We blast miles and miles, and that just creates interference in the network. We can't do that. Too short, one, we're too close to the ground, and then we do get into issues regarding, you know, maintaining the EME safety standards of the FCC. The other is too low to the ground, we don't see enough. So we have to be within a range of height. And right now, that range of height is typically in the 35-foot to 55-foot range above ground level. And we can operate fairly efficiently within those elevations. 25 years ago, we used to put the antennas up at 150 feet above the ground because we wanted the sites to cover as much area as possible because there were so few users of cell phones back then. They were car phones, if you recall, back then, and you had them installed in your car as a fixture within the car. So as the number of users increased, the height of the antennas needed to decrease because the amount of area that each site needs to cover to handle the traffic needs to continue to decrease. So the siting of sites on rooftop structures, and let me clarify my 30% estimate for you. We're talking about 30% of all rooftop or building-mounted structures, because there are plenty of freestanding structures out there as well. So when we're talking about when we go on a building, let's say a commercial office building versus a residential building versus a hospital versus a fire station, of those buildings, about 30% of those are residential.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, unless anybody objects, we're going to close public comment. Okay, how do you feel about this, Commissioner Mather?
Well, this isn't my first journey down the cell phone tower, although we haven't seen one in a long time. Yes, the rabbit hole. we've had a lot of cases in front of us about cell phone towers, and this is my first residential one. I am well versed that we cannot deal with any medical dangers that may occur, but I do consider peace of mind of the residents. I find that there seems to be a failure to inform the residents, and if they are of a lower income, maybe not dealing with it or working extra jobs to try and work things out, somehow, considering the amount that so few people here that live in this building, I find that a problem. I find that there's no documentation from the neighborhood council a problem. And I just think it's an inappropriate locale. I think that something could have been done. There could have been more due diligence in finding a better space for this. I'm very concerned about it, and I think the tenant's peace of mind is a very important factor here. So I'd be inclined to grant the appeal in full and not have this be.
Commissioner Beatty, please.
I was looking in here for the list of neighbors who had opposed this, and it does seem to me that there has been a lack of communication with the community on this one, and I am curious as to the choice of this particular building, and if the income level of some of the participants had anything to do with it. So I just, the cases that I see where there's been very little communication between the sides, I'm very leery of. So I would tend to grant this appeal in full.
Commissioner Dierking.
Yeah, I think I agree with my colleagues. I think that, they should have talked to the tenants of the building, and there's no evidence that they did. And I figured the landlord would do it. I also don't know why we're doing cell phone tower projects in residential areas, and there should be more thought to it. And part of me just wants to say, well, you need to do more due diligence.
Okay, council, okay, I kind of want to make sure that we are coming to a conclusion that is meets the standards of review and the requirements, the findings, and so forth. A follow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the import of what I hear my friend saying here is that it has to do with the second finding that I believe is required, whether the project's location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not adversely affect or further degrade adjacent properties, the surrounding neighborhood, or the public health, welfare, and safety. Is that a ground upon which this appeal could be granted?
Well, it is if you can. If you have evidence to support that and your analysis to support that finding. Obviously, you need to make that finding to approve it, so if you can't make that finding, you can deny it. Would be good to support, to cite to what information you've heard that supports not being able to make that finding.
Commissioner Mather.
I see no evidence of due diligence in finding another site. I don't think that that was done. I don't think that there was, I think that there are concerns in the community that were never addressed, and I think that clearly fits within this category of findings. Obviously, there's, I would venture that there's a profit margin here for the owner of the building in not fully communicating this process. I'd venture that as a guess.
Okay, hold on a minute. Okay.
As a large guess.
Okay, that's not the kind of findings you have in mind.
No.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Dierking.
I don't necessarily need to make the motion, but I think you could probably argue that the aesthetics of the equipment on the ground and above wouldn't be the grounds for granting the appeal.
Aesthetics can be a basis.
Did you say would or would not?
Would.
Would, okay.
Please go ahead.
I would just say that, yes, if you find that that it would have a negative impact on aesthetics, that it would fall within this finding. And if that's based on what you've heard tonight and the other information in reviewing the file, that would support being able to say that you can't approve it based on this finding.
Then we'll entertain a motion. We have closed public comment.
Kathy Phelan, Station's office. I would add that I did note in the, you might just want to review it because you said there wasn't due diligence. In the project narrative from Verizon, which is in the packet, they do have, that's where their alternative analysis is included. I don't think that actually speaks to the finding that you're talking about, but just I did notice that, so maybe you want, if that's
Where are you directing us?
In your packet, there's a project narrative from Verizon Wireless.
Yes, right here.
And it's on the third page.
Gotcha.
Because the city does require that. All the items they've checked off here, that it's required by the city.
We have closed public comment. And if anybody has a motion and wants to weigh in with any other findings, we're ready to hear it.
I think there's enough there for someone to make a motion.
I do too.
You are so good.
I won't be doing that.
You may. You can. Take a shot. Let's go for it.
Audience silence, please. This might be funny. In regards to case number ZA-2014-1239-CUW-1A, I hereby move that we grant the appeal in full based on findings in the report. That I just lost. Hold on here. Oh, here it is. Finding number 2, the project's location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not adversely affect or further degrade adjacent properties, the surrounding neighborhood, or the public health, welfare, and safety. We find that the aesthetics and the equipment used in this project will be incompatible with the community.
And the site, the residential site?
And the residential site is not compatible with the residential community.
Based on the whole of the record, including what you, the testimony you heard tonight and your review of the staff report and the site plan and all of the documents submitted by staff. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Please poll the commissioners.
Okay, Commissioner Beatty?
Yes.
Commissioner Mather?
Yes.
Commissioner Dierking?
Yes.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
And the motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.